risk that you get angry with me.
That some of you jump up and leave out of the door and say, we don't want to hear this. That's my risk. Now, I still will preach about this topic for one simple reason. I promised it to Pastor John. And the one thing that I like the least is to break the promise. Now, to address these problems, the first thing is very easy to address. There is no Bible verse saying you should live a simple life, but when we look into the teachings of Jesus, we will find this is the essence of all he ever taught. Look into the Sermon on the Mount, and now I want to make it easy today. I don't use a PowerPoint. I want you to use your Bibles. Take the Bibles that are in front of you. Open your Bibles. We will find the first verse that I want to quote here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Jesus teaches here, Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow? They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, and add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. If you take the essence of all what Jesus taught, the essence is live a plain life. There is the young rich man that came to Jesus and asked, what do I have to do to inherit the kingdom of God? And what does Jesus answer him? It's in Matthew chapter 19. Jesus answers to him, give everything you have away and start a simple life. He didn't like the answer, so he went away. But this is the essence of Jesus' teaching. Or if you think of the parable of the rich fool, which is given to us in Luke 12. I just want to quote one verse in Luke 12. Now I have to find it. Luke 12, verse 15. Then he said to them, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Jesus was teaching, live a simple life. And he himself, he lived a simple life. Now, let me come to my reason number two why not liking to preach about this. I'm dreaming high. And my generation, I belong to the post-World War II generation. Probably my generation was the first generation bombarded from early morning to late night with advertising. Open a newspaper or a magazine, what do you see? Ads. Turn the radio on, advertising. Turn the TV on, advertising. Open your computer and go to Google, what comes on the site? Advertising. We can do what we want, even driving somewhere in the middle of nowhere, you'll see billboards on the side of the roads advertising. And what do they tell us? They tell us to be happy, to be satisfied, you need this product. You need this. Or even worse, they tell us, you deserve it. How can I dream of a simple life when I'm told I need all this? My wife and I, we have friends in Germany. About the same age we are. Many years ago, they started a business. Was in the medical field. And they had the right idea. They were very successful. A couple of years after they started the business, my friend said to me, Wilfred, believe it or not, when I made $20,000 a year, we lived off $20,000 a year and everything was fine. Then I made $50,000 and our expectations grew. All of a sudden, we wanted to have special holidays. We wanted this, we wanted that. And we used up $50,000. Then I made $100,000. And then it wasn't just a car anymore that I needed. I needed a special brand of car that had to have that special sign on it. I don't want to tell you the name of it. And then he said, now I'm making even multiple of that. I'm so successful, but guess what? My expectations grew. The expectations of my family grew. My kids even don't wear any T-shirt anymore. It has to have that embroidered sign on the right spot with the right form to show how expensive it was. With everything we achieve, we're on the risk of letting our expectations grow. That's the generation we are living in. Now, how can I dream of a simple life? And third, I don't want you to feel bad. I know you are dreaming high as I do, because this is what we all do. And I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to annoy you. All I want, and this is my prayer today, I want us to set back and ask ourselves, what is on our priority list? If I can achieve this, then I will thank God, because then and only then I accomplished my task here today. What's on our priority list? Now, I want to take a couple of items of our daily life, and I just want to ask a few questions under the light of two scripture verses and ask, how do we see this? How do we handle that? And let me quote from something that was written to this topic by Morris Sider. He said, because we are Jesus' followers, his 21st century disciples, we must translate his example into action appropriate for our lives and our time. So it isn't done by looking just back into the times of Jesus and say, oh, they had this and this, that's enough for us as well. No, we have to translate whatever we do, whatever we think, into the 21st century, into our situation, and even into our place living here in Canada. Other than that, we make fools of ourselves. Now, the two Bible verses that I would like to use as a light onto the items of our daily life, the one we already read is in Matthew 6, verse 33. I want to read it again. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first his kingdom. Where are we looking to first? That's the question. And the other scripture that I want to use is in the very beginning of the Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Oh, my Bible doesn't want to open there. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. These are the two things I want to shed some light on our daily life. We are blessed. God blesses us. Do we use the blessings that we have to bless others? And where are our priorities? Let me just start with the place we are living in. Many of you know that I grew up in post-World War II Germany, in the city of Berlin. The city of Berlin was one of the most bombed cities in Germany, and those bombs didn't only destroy any official buildings or industry, they destroyed thousands of residential places. So when I grew up there, living space was very rare. Until I was almost 9 years old, my family, consisting of my parents, my older brother, me, and my younger sister, five people, we lived in an apartment that you would call a one-bedroom apartment with 600 square feet. And I have to tell you, when I think back to these times, I didn't miss anything. I was a happy boy. I had my brother, I had my sister, we had lots of fun together. I didn't miss anything. Today, my wife and I, after our kids have left home, the two of us, we are sharing a 2,500 square feet building, probably even more, and we really don't need it. But we have it, and we are happy to host our kids when they come. Now, we are blessed. And I assume many of you are blessed with a home as well, with more than you really need. Are we using our homes, are we using our houses as blessings for other people? When was the last time you invited somebody to your home? Maybe some of you have a cottage, or a camp trailer,
or something like this. Are you using what you possess also as a blessing for other people?
I'm not asking you to give things away. I'm just asking, are you using it to bless other people? And there's nothing wrong if these other people are your own family in the first place. God gave us abilities to bless our families, to invite our children for Christmas or whatever occasion, and to host them and to be there for them and to have room for them. But I strongly believe God asks us to do more, to use what we are blessed with as a blessing for other people. Do we seek the kingdom of God with our houses, with our homes? Is there a prayer meeting? Is there a home group meeting at your place? Or do you fear when those other covenant people come, I have to clean up my home later? I don't want that. I don't want them to make my home unorderly. Do we bless other people, and do we use what we've got to seek the kingdom of God? When I look out here to the parking lot, I think all of us, we are blessed with automotive vehicles, cars, motorcycles, even some have a classic car. Now, don't feel offended when I say that. I love driving motorbikes, and I'm dreaming of a classic car myself, of a convertible. Nothing wrong with dreaming of this, I think, because we all do it. But do we use what God blesses us with to bless other people? Do you have your car just for yourself, or are you offering people who have to go to the hospital or to a doctor's appointment, or who need somebody driving them to Barrie, are you offering yourself and your car to do this? Or are you just saying, no, this is my car, and nobody else will touch it? Seek the kingdom of God first. Now, when I looked at these cars, last week we had the chance to bless Cuban pastors with bicycles to be mobile. Now, when I put this besides all these cars, those 2¾-inch bicycles that we are blessing Cuban pastors with, I have to say, that topic isn't on our priority list. Sorry to say that. I mentioned the Amish community before. One of the first things you recognize Amish people by is their dressing. How they are dressed. They wear certain clothes. You can say from hundreds of meters afar, these people must be Amish. Old Order Mennonites, they had that value of dressing very simple, and that meant for them avoiding bright colors, avoiding this, avoiding that. Now, I don't know if that's really necessary for us, if that's the smartest thing to do to come up with a dress code. I don't like dress codes. I have my personal one, you all know. On Sundays, I like to dress up a little bit. I like to wear a jacket and a shirt and a tie for one simple reason. I want to make Sunday a special day in my week. I'm wearing all these dirty jeans and working pants all week long, so Sunday should be something special for me. That's why I do it. Nobody has to copy me. I just feel better doing it. Now, there's one very interesting aspect in what the Amish people or the Old Order Mennonites do. They are independent of the fashions. I remember a couple of decades ago, the fashion was changing every year. I remember that by the ties, by the way. The widths of the ties changed every year. They got wider, 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 and then they shrunk back to narrow, and then they got... Terrible thing. Every year you could throw out your ties and buy new ones to be going with the fashion. And I know of many women, they threw out their dresses like nothing because it didn't fit to the fashion anymore. Now, that's one thing the Amish people never did. They told us, or they taught us, you can live independent of it, and you can wear your clothes as long as you can wear them. You don't have to throw anything out just by the fashion. Now, nowadays, we are very close to that because jeans and golf shirts, they are probably independent of fashion as well. And many, many people just wear only jeans and golf shirts. The question is, how much do we put into our outfit? How much of the money we make is just flowing into these things? Are we throwing things just easily away because we need something new? Another question that I have, how much do we have to decorate ourselves? I know people, they spend hundreds of dollars every month just to get their hair dressed. You may think it's easy for me to talk about it, but I can tell you exactly the opposite. Because people having that problem that I have, sometimes think they have to have a wig or a toupee, and this has to be so good that nobody sees that it is one, and they are spending lots of money on it. The question is, really, what do we have to do? What do we think we have to do? How do we have to decorate ourselves in order to accept ourselves? What's important for us? I may touch a critical point when I'm talking of jewelry. I mean, for me, it's easy. The only thing that I'm wearing is my wedding band, and I believe that has a very good reason, and I would say all the money I put into that was worth every cent. I'm wearing it for over 44 years now. Now I don't want to ask you. I want you to ask yourself, how much do you think you have to invest in jewelry, in, I call it decoration, to make yourself acceptable for you and when you look into the mirror? That's where a simple lifestyle may start. We are blessed with time. God gave every one of us 24 hours a day. We are really blessed with that. Are we using our time to bless other people? I can tell you it was for the wrong motive that I did it. Years ago, somebody from this place here told us that the Salvation Army is looking for some help for somebody driving a pickup truck there. And I love driving pickup trucks, so I said, oh, I'll do that. But I found out by giving 1 hour a week to the food bank of the Salvation Army, I'm blessing other people with my time. Volunteering is something that we all should do the one or the other way. And I can tell you, if it's really important for you, I can arrange all my appointments so that it never interferes with my 1 hour Wednesday morning when I'm driving the pickup truck for the Salvation Army. You can do that. And in the meantime, that's really important to me because I found it makes a difference. It makes a difference to many people that there is somebody going picking up the supply for the food bank for 1 hour in the morning. How much time do you invest into other people, into blessing other people? Ask yourself. And on top of that, we've got 7 days a week. God gave us 7 days a week. And do you know what? When God did this, He said clearly, even to the first people, He said, you know what? I gave you 7 days a week, but take 1 day and separate it from the others. Make it a special day. Take 1 day where you don't do any work. Take 1 day where you have time for your family, for your friends, to relax, to go to church. Because God said, you are made that way. Look into the story of creation. It tells us God made us for a rhythm of 6 plus 1 days. And everyone who is following this rhythm will find out there is so much blessing, there is so much health, so much wonderful, so many wonderful experiences in it when I follow this rhythm. And I'm a fool. I tried that, I can tell you. I'm a fool when I try to work 7 days a week. I ruin myself. It's not that I do something bad for, against God. That's not the problem. The problem is I'm ruining myself if I don't obey this 6 plus 1 day rhythm. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So for me, it's important to come to church on a Sunday. For me, church is so important. It's part of my, it's a very important part of my life, and I want to give my time to church, and I'm doing it. You see me standing up here. I'm not the pastor, so I don't get paid for it. It's just what I donate to my church because I love the church. I love you guys. I love being here. How much time do we invest into our church? I'm so glad when I heard last week that two young girls, I don't look about into that direction, that they were organizing a VBS this year. This is so wonderful. And I'm so thankful for our pastor and for Kyle, our youth director, that they spend time for the church. And now you may say, yeah, they get paid for it. Really, they get paid for it. But Can you imagine how much a pastor's family is given to the church by the husband working as a pastor? There is a lot. And there are so many hours that aren't paid for. We should not see this wrong. And I'm so glad we have a pastor who does it. I'm so glad we have a youth director who does it. I'm so glad we have people helping with whatever the church needs. Just take your time and ask yourself, am I spending time for the church? That brings me to the topic of the church itself. The church is a gift from God for us. That we have this church building is a gift from God for us. And you know what? I am so glad that I'm part of this church community for one simple reason. I've been a member in churches which were not using, or their church buildings were not used for 6 3/4 of a day during the week. They just were meeting for their Sunday service, and that was it. Now, our church building here, do you know how much this is used? There is something going on here almost every day. In the mornings, in the afternoons, at nighttime, sometimes it's hard to find a free spot to do something here at the church. But I have to tell you, this is the most wonderful compliment that we can make to those people who took their time and who invested time and money to build this church building, that we say, yeah, this building is really used. It's needed. We give it to the community. We are blessing other people with it. We are blessing the AA meeting here. We are blessing young folks coming here almost every day. Youth groups meeting, whatsoever. I'm so glad we do it this way. I know you just can look around. There are so many churches closed for 6 3/4 of a day every week. And there is one thing more that I really love about this church. Our church building is a plain and simple building. Yes, we could invest money building a church tower, maybe with some fine sounds coming from it every hour, you know, when the church bells are ringing. No, it's really not necessary. We can meet here. We can hear the Word of God. We can have time together, share our faith without having an extravagant-looking church. It's functionable. It's great. And I personally just want to say thank you to all those who invested time and money to get this church building ready for us. And when it comes to our services, I'm very thankful to the fathers of the BIC faith because they said, let's have a simple, plain service. We don't need a liturgy. We don't have to fulfill certain things. We don't have to quote certain words or phrases in order that this service is really regarded as a church service. That's the thing with liturgy. If you miss one of those points as a pastor, oh, you may be in trouble. And I'm so glad we don't really need this. If we want to have one prayer for the whole service, then we have one prayer. If we want to only sing one song, we sing one song. If we want to sing 3, 4, 5, let's sing 3, 4, 5 songs. We are free to do it. Let's seek the kingdom of God first. Don't let's seek the form of it. Don't ask for the proper church form. I know churches, they have a funny habit. When the church service is over, they are leaving first row first, then second row, then third row. And be aware, if you don't do it the right way, you're in trouble. Sorry, this has nothing to do for me with seeking the kingdom of God. We want to seek the kingdom of God. We want to discuss our faith. We want to be open for it. And I have to tell you, I wouldn't even mind if somebody of you would jump up now and say, I have to tell this to this point you mentioned. This would be seeking the kingdom of God first. And I'm so glad that this is something we already do. Let me take one last item, and I will make it very short. We are blessed with money. Nobody, that's your constitutional right here in Canada, nobody living here has to go to bed hungry. That's a great thing. And we are better off than more than 50% of this world's population. What are we doing with the money we earn? Are we seeking to bless others? Are we doing what God told His people to do? Take 10% of what you get and put it into the church because it's needed there? Do we do that? You don't have to answer me. And I know how hard it is sometimes. I remember the times when I was a student, when I just had $500 a month to pay everything I had to pay, and I needed $500. How could I take 10% off it for the church? Then I was missing those 10%. I made my experience with God. I found out when I still obey Him, He's blessing me even more. Thank you. I can tell you, you cannot outgive God. You won't do it. He promised to bless you. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. And everything else will be given unto you. This is my wish today, that you will experience that. Seek the kingdom of God first and find out of all the blessings God has in stock for you. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you are blessing us with so many things in our daily life. You're blessing us with homes, with cars, with money, with time, with whatever it is, friends and families. Lord, I thank you for it. I just pray that we all can take some time to sit back and ask ourselves, where is our priority list for all this? Lord, I ask that we take this serious, and that we are ready to live a simple, a plain life in order to bless others with what you have given to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.